to Jesus for the cleansing power. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Starting over, whoever said that. I heard myself fine. Anyway, we want to pray for Sharon. She fell, broke her shoulder, broke her arm. She's going to have surgery on Tuesday. And so let's take a moment and just go to the Lord and pray for her. Father, we come to you today. And Lord, we love you. And we thank you for the incredible love that you have for us. We're going to see that again. And in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. And I just thank you and praise you for the incredible love. There's really no way to describe it. There's just really no way to describe what you have done for us, how you've set us free from sin and the consequences of it. And so we just praise you and thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray that this service would be all about you, that it would bring honor and glory to you. And when we sing, we would literally lift these words up as a praise offering to you. Lord, we all have stuff going on, good, bad, busy, ugly, whatever. But I pray for 1 hour that every one of us in here would take whatever that is, lay it at your feet, and let you be God for 1 hour. Just let you be God. Trust that you are the sovereign Lord of the universe. trust that you will work everything together for good for those who love you and are called according to your purposes. And so we thank you for the great promises that you've given us in your word. And we lift up Sharon today. We pray for healing for her. We pray that you would just place your healing hand on her. We also pray that you would give Dr. Evans divine wisdom, guidance, and understanding. And I know he's one of the best, probably in the United States, when it comes to shoulders. And so I thank you and praise you for that. And we just pray again that you help him to see and understand everything he needs to see, and that you just be with him and bless him as he does this surgery with Sharon, and that you would just provide healing through this procedure that she's about to go through on Tuesday, and be with John as he stays by her as her faithful husband and spouse. And we just pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come. And I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Though to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. Suddenly articulate, with a thousand tongues to lift one cry. Then from north to south and east to west, we'd hear Christ be magnified. Were the whole earth echoing his imminence, his name would burst from sea and sky. Then from rivers to the mountaintops, we'd hear Christ be magnified. Oh, Christ be magnified. let his praise arise, Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life, Christ be magnified in me. When every creature finds its inmost melody, and every human heart its native cry, holding in one in raptured hymn of praise, we'll sing Christ be magnified. Oh, Christ be magnified, let his praise arise, Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life, Christ be magnified in me. I won't bow to idols, I'll stand strong and worship you. And if it puts me in the fire, I'll rejoice cause you're there too. I won't be formed by feelings, I hold fast to what is true. If the cross brings transformation, then I'll be crucified with you. Cause death is just the doorway into resurrection life. And if I join you in your suffering, then I'll join you when you rise. And when you return in glory, all the angels and the saints, my heart will still be singing, my song will be the same. Oh, Christ be magnified, let his praise arise, Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life, Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified, let his praise arise, Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life, Christ be magnified in me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love, and you're slow to anger. Your name is great, and your heart is kind. goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. I'll worship Your holy name. Lord, I'll worship Your holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. I'll worship Your holy name. Lord, I'll worship Your holy name.
Father, we thank You for this day. Even though it's cold, I thank You for the people that are here this morning that have come to meet with You. We pray for those that are in the hospital due to injury or sickness, that You would be with them this morning, that they would feel Your loving arms and Your comfort. Father, just allow us to lay everything at Your feet this morning that could be a distraction from enjoying Your presence and learning from Your word today. I pray that You wash us anew, renew us with Your word. God, show us how to apply these truths to our lives so that we are not just hearers of the word, but doers. Help us to walk in these truths every week. As Chris speaks to us, give us ears to hear Your wisdom, Father. Give us discernment. And Father, we pray that You would show us those opportunities that You are providing for us throughout the week to invite others to share Your truth with them, that it not be something contained within the walls of GBF, but something that goes out from here. Give us that courage, give us that passion to not just spend time with You each week, but to be about You in everything that we do. We thank You for the truths of these songs, for the truth of the message we're about to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Matt. All right, we're going to be in Galatians 5. Anybody need sermon notes? Raise your hand and we'll get some to you. I don't know why, but for some reason, the printer, it almost looks like part of that first passage is in a different language. So I'm not sure what happened there, but I'll correct it as we go along. So we're going to be in Galatians 5, and I'm really glad you're here this morning because verses 13 through 15 is just a really cool passage. And so I'm excited you're here and you're going to be able to study this passage along with us this morning. I've entitled the sermon, Freedom with a Purpose. So Galatians 5, beginning with verse 13, and it's in your notes. I think I got almost all the scripture we're going to look at in your notes this morning. So Paul says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh." In other words, a license to sin. "But through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word." Now you remember the Judaizers were intent that you had to obey the law to be saved, to be okay with God, right? But listen to what Paul says right here. Verse 14, "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in one statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another." And so it's very important, again, all through the New Testament, you see unity and harmony of the body of Christ stressed over and over and over, and wishful thinking is never going to get us there. We have to take care. We have to be intentional about protecting unity and harmony in God's church. We have to put forth the effort and do the work to protect the harmony of God's church. And here's why that's so critical, because without it, we have no witness, right? If we're fighting with each other and griping at each other and criticizing each other, is anybody outside these walls going to believe what we claim to believe? No. The answer is no. They're going to laugh. They're going to think it's a joke, right? So unity and harmony is paramount in the body of Christ. Okay, little mini sermon. Let's move on. Last week we learned that it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. In other words, we've been set free from having to obey the law to be found righteous before God. Christ's sacrificial death and resurrection on our behalf has set us free from the bonds of sin and its penalty, which is death. We learned that last week. Now look at Romans 6, 22 and 23 in your notes. "But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in your sanctification," meaning you've been made holy. You've been completely set apart from sin. And the outcome is that now you have eternal life. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Put another way, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, meaning we are no longer relying on our own efforts to try to make us righteous before God, the Bible says we are completely forgiven, we are made holy, and we are completely accepted in the eyes of God. In fact, when God sees you, he now sees the righteousness and the radiance of his perfect Son, Jesus Christ, who took your place on the cross. Amen? All right, so this leads us to point number one in your notes this morning. Because of what Jesus has done for you, God wants you to spend the rest of your life knowing that you are and you always will be seen by him as radiant, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish. Write that in your notes this morning. Because of what Jesus Christ did for you and I on the cross, God wants us to spend the rest of our lives knowing that we are and will always be seen by him as radiant, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish. Put another way, because Jesus took your punishment on the cross, and because you've put your faith in him for your salvation, you are now as perfect as you will ever be. You're as perfect now in the eyes of God as you will ever be, because you are now in Christ. And because you're in Christ, you're radiant. You're without stain. You're without wrinkle or any other blemish in the eyes of God. Amen? That's the good news of Jesus Christ. In fact, listen to this. You are, if you're a Christian, if you've truly trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and put your faith in Him as your Lord and Savior, you are as radiant today in the eyes of God as you will be when you step over into heaven one day. Positionally speaking, right? Practically speaking, there's still some work we need to do, amen, to become like Christ. But positionally speaking, because of what Jesus has done for you and because you believed in Him, you're as radiant today in the eyes of God as you ever will be and as the day you step into heaven. And all this is possible because of the grace of God. All this is possible because of the grace of God that's been applied to your life when you believed in His one and only Son, His one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. In fact, the Apostle Paul says that Jesus lives to present to Himself, lives to present us to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless, Ephesians 5:27. But now, in this passage that we're studying this morning, Paul turns his attention to the abuse of God's grace, which is this: now that I'm saved by grace and I don't have to earn my way to heaven, I'll just do as I please with the rest of my life. And so while the Judaizers are promoting this legalism approach, which says salvation comes through grace plus obeying the law, Paul now is correcting the possibility of this license to sin approach. And so while Paul tells them that they've been free from, he also tells them in this passage what they're freed for. And that's what we're going to look at in verses 13 through 15. Point number one, God wants you to spend the rest of your life knowing that if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are and always will be seen by Him as radiant, without stain, wrinkle, or any other blemish. Point number two, true freedom in Christ is the calling to love and serve one another instead of accusing and attacking each other because of our fears. That's true freedom in Christ. Why do we accuse other people? Why do we attack other people? Because we're afraid, because of our fears. And so true freedom in Christ is the calling to love one another and serve one another instead of accusing one another and attacking each other because of our fears. Look back at verses 13 through 15. For you were called to freedom. You were called from having to obey the law to be righteous before God. You were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not turn that freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. That's what we've been called for. Through the love that we have in Jesus Christ, God has called us to serve one another. And then Paul continues, for the whole law is fulfilled in this one word, in this one statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But again, if you bite and devour one another, then take care that you're not consumed by one another. And this is what we were set free for. We were set free to obey Christ and to love and serve each other just as Jesus has loved and served us. Because to live for ourselves, listen to this, to live for ourselves is to once again be chained to the sinfulness and the self-centeredness, which is what we were freed from in the first place. So let's take a closer look at what we've been freed for. First and foremost, the Bible says we were freed for love, Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor
as yourself. Jesus goes on to say, and all the law and all the prophet hang on these two commandments. So he says, love your neighbor as yourself, so that, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there may be no division in the body of Christ, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And then in 2 Corinthians 9, for the ministry of this service, meaning your generosity, for the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but it's also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. And then the Bible says in Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is helpful for building others up, for edifying other people according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. And then in 1 Peter 4:2, this is what we're freed for, all these verses I'm sharing with you. So let this stuff soak in. This is how God wants us to live now that we've been freed from having to obey the law. 1 Peter 4:2, so live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of man, meaning the things of this world, but for the will of God. And then Ephesians 4:15 through 16. I'm giving you a bunch of scripture here, and what I hope that you're putting together is, this is to be our focus. This is how we are to live the rest of our lives as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:15 through 16, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Christ Jesus, who is the head of the church, from whom the whole body, who's joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body, makes the church grow, and it builds itself up in love. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. And listen to this. Don't miss this. This is your spiritual act of worship. This is what true worship is really all about. It's not showing up on Sunday and singing songs and raising your hands. There's nothing wrong with any of those. In fact, those glorify God if you do it for His glory and for His honor. Not for show, or not to do something to try to be okay with God. There's absolutely nothing wrong with raising your hands, as long as you're not doing it for other people, as long as you're doing it for Him. There's nothing wrong with, you know, any of those ways you express yourself. One of the things I love to do is, you've probably noticed, after about the first song, I sit down. And the reason is because I have all of you singing His praises behind me. And I'm preparing my heart to preach. And so I'm sitting there praying and worshiping the Lord at the same time, right along with you. So however you choose to do that, it's okay as long as it's for Him. Always make sure it's for Him. Romans 8:29. For those whom God foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. That's the ultimate goal, right, for you and I, to be conformed to the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, let me go back, because I forgot verses 2 and 3 in Romans 12. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you do that? By being in the Word. By being in the Word and obeying the Word. It's not enough to know the Word. If you ever want your life to be transformed, you have to obey the Word. And by the way, people come to me all the time and say, Pastor Chris, how can I know the will of God? The will of God is in the Word of God. It's that simple. Read the Word of God, and you'll begin to understand the will of God, because the Holy Spirit, who is God, will always take the Word of God and show you the will of God for your life. The will of God is in the Word of God. So
if you want to know what the will of God is for your life, read the Word of God. Then the Bible says you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And then Jesus said in John 13, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you." And Jesus gave himself up for us, right? That's how much he loved us, right? Love each other, love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So guess what? This is what we have been called to. This is what we have been set free for. This is God's will for our lives. And so Paul says to those who are still trying to obey the law, you were called to freedom. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through Christ's love in you, serve one another. For the whole law, all you that are still trying to obey the law, listen to me closely. Paul's saying to the Galatians, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, love. It's fulfilled in this one statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So quit trying to obey the law to be okay with God, to earn your salvation, to be in right standing with God, and don't use your freedom as just another opportunity to live for yourself. Instead, live the rest of your life loving God, and then allow Christ's love in you to motivate you and empower you to love and serve one another. That's what we've been freed for, to love. Spend the rest of our lives loving each other. Spend the rest of our lives building each other up. Spend the rest of our lives serving one another. Number one, God wants you to spend the rest of your life knowing that you are. I want you to meditate on number one. Don't let that just go over your head. Until you understand that, you'll never live in freedom. Until you understand what Jesus has done for you, you'll never truly live in freedom. God wants you to spend the rest of your life knowing that you are and always will be seen by Him as radiant. When He sees Christ in you, He sees you as righteous and radiant without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish. Number two, true freedom in Christ is the calling to love and serve one another instead of accusing and attacking each other because of our fears. Number three, the whole law is fulfilled when we spend our lives loving God and then allow His love in us to motivate us and empower us to love and serve others for His kingdom. In fact, it is this loving and serving others that frees us from our own self-centeredness. Let me say that again. Don't miss this. It's in loving and serving others that we are finally freed up from our own self-centeredness, which is the very essence of sin. And it's this love that allows us to experience the fullness of God, to know God more intimately than we ever have. And it's this love that allows us to fulfill His purpose for our lives. But for this to happen, we must develop a spiritual discipline. For this to happen, we must develop the spiritual discipline of meditating on and reflecting on the love and grace that we've been shown through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Put another way, we must develop the discipline of focus. Focus is everything. Have you noticed that? Have you figured that out in life? Your focus is everything. And for us to ever fulfill the purpose that God has for us and experience the fullness of God like never before, we have to develop the discipline of staying focused on the things that God wants us to stay focused on. Meaning we turn our hearts and our minds to who we are in Christ Jesus every day, regardless of our circumstances. so that our lives then are brought into alignment with his kingdom purposes. And as we live this life of love, the Holy Spirit sets us free. He sets us free from living as legalist, and he sets us free from living as though grace gave us a license to sin. And as we live this life of focused love for others, the Holy Spirit cultivates our relationship with God and transforms us into the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look at 1 John 14 in your notes. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, the Bible says God abides in him. God lives in him. God remains in him. That's what the word abide means. It means to live, to remain. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So if you find yourself tempted to be made right with God through obeying the law, then remember Jesus said this: the whole law is fulfilled in loving your neighbor as yourself. And so focus on loving others as you love yourself. And if you find yourself being tempted to abuse God's grace by serving yourself, then remember Christ's supreme act of love, grace, service, and sacrifice on your behalf. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. What did he give? His one and only Son. God. Can you imagine? Those of you that have a son? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And then in Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, did not come to be served. God himself in the flesh. Matthew 1:23, Jesus Christ did not come to be served but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. How do you know you really love God? You keep his commandments. How do you know you're truly a follower of Jesus Christ? You keep his commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, the Holy Spirit, that he may be with you forever, and that is the Spirit of truth. John 14:21, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. So if you really want to grow in your relationship with God, a lot of times that's the New Year's resolution many people have. And I read a deal the other day that said New Year's resolutions fade out the first Friday of the new year. They called it, I don't know what they call it, Fading Friday or something. I don't know what they called it. But anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. But a lot of people, their New Year's resolutions to read the Bible through, to get closer to God than they've ever been before. I mean, all those are great things. But if you really want to grow in your relationship with God, obey what he says and choose to live this life of love and service, because it is here that the whole law is fulfilled, and it is here that the greatest purpose of your life is fulfilled. Nothing else will bring you more meaning. Nothing else will bring you more fulfillment. I'll never forget, I used to work out with a guy. Huge gym in North Arlington. And we were talking one day, and he was actually the head, I don't know what you call him, trainer, whatever, at this gym. And I was in his office one day, and we were talking. He goes, you know, Chris, because I started talking to him about the Lord. And he immediately jumped in, told me he was a believer. And he said, you know, Chris, even if I got to the end of my life and found out I was wrong, I would still go back and live for Jesus all over again. Even if I got to the end of my life and found out I was wrong, I've lived such a better life, a life of love, a life of service, a life of integrity, a life of character, a life of caring about someone other than me. Jesus has taught me to love and serve other people and to get over myself. So at the end, if I found out it was wrong, I'd go right back, start over, and do the exact same thing and follow Jesus all over again. Nothing else will bring you closer to God than living your life loving others. In fact, love, listen to this, love even trumps the pursuit of great knowledge. It trumps, even the Bible says, great faith when it comes to walking with God. If you're going to make a point to do anything in this life, Jesus says, love others as you love yourself. Love and serve them and even sacrifice for them the same way I have done for you. Let me close with this. 1 Corinthians 13. Listen to the if I did this, if I did that. Listen to the if I statements in this. 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Even if I speak the tongues of men and angels, if I have the gift of prophecy, and if I know all mysteries, some of us spend our lives trying to figure out the mysteries of the Word of God. And if I have all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so much faith that I can remove mountains, but do not love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. So how does love serve others? Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love does not brag. It is never arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. In other words, it does not, by the things it says and does, detract from another person's appearance, character, or reputation. That's what it means to act unbecomingly. With my mouth or with my actions, I detract from another person's appearance, character, or reputation. Love does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and love never fails, the Bible says. Love never fails. Bottom line, love is the highest achievement of mankind. It surpasses anything else a man can do in his life. And the whole law, Jesus said, is fulfilled in this one commandment. So no matter what else you do in this life, no matter what else you achieve in this life, if you do not learn to love your brothers and your sisters, you're nothing more, according to Scripture, than a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. And who wants to hang out with that guy? Not me. Not me. In fact, my hearing has changed. So loud things now, I'm like, what was that? And my wife's going, what's going on with you? And I'm like, I don't know, dude. But loud stuff now just is, it kind of almost freaks me out a little bit. And the last thing I want to do is stand next to a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if any of y'all can relate to what I'm saying about, but it's just some things are changing since I'm getting a little older. And but think about what it's saying here. If you don't do anything else, learn to love. Learn to serve. And learn to sacrifice for other people. And I promise you it's a game changer. I promise you it'll change your life forever. Your life will have more meaning. It'll have more purpose. You'll have more joy. You'll be experiencing more peace than you can ever imagine. And all this other stuff that you're trying to achieve, if you don't do what we just talked about, it's worth nothing. It gets you nowhere. Will you join me in prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And what a great word on how we can grow in our relationship with you and how we can learn to be transformed into the likeness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, you may be here today or you may be watching online today and you would like to receive God's truth about how you can never work your way to heaven. No matter what you do, it'll never be good enough because God is holy and he is righteous. But God himself came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, to live a perfect life and die in your place for the payment of your sins and mine. And so maybe today you'd like to quit trying to make up for all your mistakes and accept God's free gift of eternal life by placing your faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If that's where you're at, you might want to repeat a prayer somewhat like this after me. And these are not magic words. The only thing that matters is that you pray this prayer to God and you mean it in your heart. Lord Jesus, today I realize that you are the God of the universe and the Savior of the world. Today I want to trust in you and your sacrifice on the cross and your resurrection from the dead for my salvation. And I confess to you that I'm a sinner in need of mercy and forgiveness. And so today I'm asking for your mercy and your forgiveness. I'm asking for your grace to submit to your authority and to actually let you be the God of my life. And for your power to turn from my sins. And Lord, forgive me for playing God and trying to run my own life. I'm ready for you to be my Lord and for you to be my Savior. I'm ready to start living a life of love so that I'm abiding in you and allowing you and your word to abide in me. Thank you for loving me enough to die for me, save me from my sins, and make me a child of God. Or maybe you're here today, you're watching, and you might want to say a prayer somewhat like this. Heavenly Father, help me to begin to understand how much mercy and grace you've shown me. Forgive me when I start doing my own thing my own way, and show me the areas of my life where my heart is far from you. Forgive me when I start thinking I'm better than other people. I have it more together than other people. I'm wiser than other people. All those arrogant things. Forgive me, Lord, for being that way. And teach me what it looks like to live this life of love. And to live a life loving and serving others. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Matt, you lead us in our closing song, if you would, please, sir.
Stop, you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 Oh, that is who you are. 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 Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keep light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Amen. You guys be seated for just a moment. I need to share a few things with you real quick. Andrea's having a children's ministry training today at 4:30 to 6. If you're interested in volunteering in children's ministry, they're always needing help over there with that. You can be part of that. Does she do that in the summit? Does anybody know? She does that in the summit? Okay. And then all journey groups in February are meeting February 2nd, okay? So be sure and take note of that. And then we're starting a new Wednesday night Bible study for men and women on February 12th, same time, same place. But the first meeting will all meet in here because we're studying a book called The Challenge to Trust on the Path to Peace. And it's actually a 50-day devotional that a friend of mine wrote. She's going to be here with us that Wednesday night to kick it off. So we'll all be together in here Wednesday night, February 12th. But then after that, the ladies will meet over here like normal, and the men will meet across the street like normal. It's a 14-week study. If you want to be part of that, then I need you to sign up back there. There's a sign-up sheet back there. Be sure and put your name and your phone number. I didn't make that real clear, so I got 100 names with about 3 phone numbers. But be sure and put your name and your number in case I need to get a hold of you. And I'm getting the books at a discount from Cindy, and so I need to know how many to order. And I'm going to order them after today. So if you haven't signed up, you want to sign up for that. It's an amazing study that we're going to be doing together for 14 weeks. If you need a book, be sure. And some people have signed up, and this is kind of the perfect way to do this, even though I didn't tell you. Some people signed up and then crossed their name out saying, I'm coming, but I don't need a book. I already have a book. And I'm like, dude, that's perfect, okay? And you can sign up. If you're signing up as a couple, just put you and your spouse on the same line because I'm out of lines back there. So, but we have a huge group of people that are going to go through this together in our church, and it's going to be an exciting time. All right, last but not least, I saved this for last because, where is that deal at? Where did I put it? Oh, here it is right here. Here it is right here. Thank you, sir. So the Choices Pregnancy Center, we do this every year for Sanctity of Human Life, and it says there's nothing more precious than a baby, but for many women, an unplanned pregnancy doesn't bring feelings of joy. It brings fear, insecurity, and the end of hopes and dreams. She cannot see beyond her current circumstances to the greater plan that God has for her and her unborn child. But if she has someone to walk alongside her and encourage her, she can begin to imagine the possibilities of what might be and see the blessing that a child truly is. At Choices, we do everything we can to show these women that they are not alone, that they are loved by us and by God, and they are strong and capable enough to be great moms. Hope changes everything. So they provide medical supplies. Most of you, a lot of you are already part of all this with us. But every year, we fill baby bottles with change, checks, cash, whatever. And so we're going to be taking these until March 2nd. It says you got to return your baby bottle no later than March 2nd, okay? And you bring them up here. We'll take them, put them in the safe, all that kind of stuff. So everything's good that way. But then you can read some more things on here, how you can volunteer, how you can be a financial partner, donate services, pray for them as well. But it's a great thing that we do every year. And the reason I'm telling you this last, so that you can go on your way out and grab a baby bottle off the table in that corner over there and take it home and then bring it back when you're ready. And that is a huge help for Choices Pregnancy Center in Stephenville that we've supported for I don't even know how long. Incredible ministry and incredible people running it. And so I wanted to make you aware of that so you could be part of that. All right. I love you guys. Thanks for being here. Thanks for braving the cold weather and being here this morning. Let's stand and be sure and pray for Sharon. And she'll be having her surgery on Tuesday. And let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we love you. I thank you for this precious church family. For all these amazing people, all these precious, amazing brothers and sisters in Christ that I have the privilege of being part of. And it's such a great blessing to just be part of this church family. And Lord, we want you to know that we love you and consider it an incredible and indescribable blessing to be part of your family. And we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the love and the service and the sacrifice that he has made on our behalf. In Jesus' name, amen.